Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
It's an old story, but one that still brings a chuckle. Three preachers were at a conference, and prompted by a message on besetting sins, late one evening the three began to reveal some of their secret flaws. One said that his besetting sin was that he enjoyed an occasional drink. Naturally, he explained, he didn't like folks in his congregation knowing about it, so he was quite discreet in his drinking. The second said he wasn't bothered at all with the temptation for drink, but he confessed that he too had a besetting sin. He said his was gambling. The third listened quietly, and as they waited for him to admit to his besetting sin, he rather smugly said, "I too have a besetting sin." "Yes," encouraged the first. "Mine," he said, "is gossip, and I can hardly wait to get home and to post something on Facebook." My daughter Bonnie quips, "Christians don't gossip. They just share prayer requests." How do you respond to those bits of somewhat salacious information which get passed on to you? At times I ask someone, "Do you know this for a fact, or did you just hear it from someone else?" Rumors or half-truths can be as devastating as a bullet in the dark. I am thinking of a Methodist pastor whose associate didn't like him. So the youth pastor composed a letter accusing the senior pastor of wrongdoing and indiscretions and mailed the letter to the entire membership. What happened? As church leaders began to investigate, it became apparent that the accusations were totally 100% false. The associate admitted to fabricating the story, but the damage was done. Within 2 years, the pastor quietly left town. He had become known as the pastor whose reputation was questionable. In regard to passing on information which may or may not be true, there are three questions you should ask. First, is it needful? What you say may be true. You may well know something about a person which only God and the other person knows, and God has long since forgiven that individual, blotting out the record forever. But you casually mention that failure in a conversation. What you shared had no bearing on the present. What you know is completely unnecessary. Second question, is it kind? In recent years, we've come to think of absolute frankness as being the equivalent of honesty. I believe in honesty. I also believe in kindness. Criticism is often a blunt expression of what someone already knows. It takes little brilliance to recognize failure or shortcoming, but it takes a great deal of grace and kindness to withhold the obvious. Ever hear the expression, "I feel like giving him a piece of my mind"? My late father-in-law, Dr. Guy Duffield, used to say that some folks have a good deal more mind than they know what to do with, since they're always giving pieces of it away. Third question, is it true? Immanuel Kant, the philosopher, once said, "All that one says may be true, but it is not necessary to say all that is true." The next time you are tempted to pass on a choice bit of news, ask if what you are about to say will pass these three tests. Is it needful? Is it kind? Is it true? Remind yourself of what the writer of Proverbs said long ago, "He who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city."
You've just heard Dr. Harold Saleh with Guidelines for Living. If you'd like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our devotional, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.